tell you a story. I am not a hunter, of course. Even though I shot a lot of animals in my life, I don't just like, I'm not a hunter, so say it that way. But anyway, I do read the game news. And Ann knows that when I read the game news, I go in the living room, and that means I'm going to relax, and I'll read a couple paragraphs and fall asleep. So nothing missed if you don't get the whole story. However, one time I was reading a story, this last, I think it was the last issue or two, and she came in and she said, what is it about the game news that's making you cry? And I had read the whole story, and I said, well, it's like this. There was a, and I'm good with concepts, not with details, so the story might not be 100% accurate, but the story was, it was a camp that was into hunting bears, and they had some incredible success, and the reason the article was written was because they had killed 100 bears at that camp. And they had a few rules that people were welcome to join the camp, but you had to be willing to wash dishes, you had to be willing to work as a team to get bears, and you had to stick with it the whole time. You couldn't just be half in. Anyway, as they had developed over time, they made a rule that the first person to get a bear each year is the captain that leads the team the next year, and that when the people that don't get bears, that haven't ever gotten one, get put at places where they're most likely to see one so they have a fair chance so that they catch the vision of hunting bears. Anyway, I don't know if they were successful every year, but it was like 50 years that they had gotten 100 bears, and it was pretty impressive. And the reason I was crying was not because I care about hunting or the bears or the cabin. And one other thing about the story is that the cabin burned down at one point, and they went and hunted bears anyway. What made me cry was there was a group of people that understood why they existed, and they every year hunted bears whether the cabin burned down or whatever. And they taught the next generation to hunt bears and to be involved and engaged. They got them to experience getting a bear, so they were excited about bear hunting. And so I thought, it's great to be a part of a community that that experiences God, and that year after year, we experience God, and that even if something like COVID happens, we still experience God. And we make an effort to take the people who've never really experienced deliverance to get to places where they can see this happening so they know that this can be and that God is real. And so this first song is Encamped Along the Hills of Light. It's faith is the victory, and that as we keep that vision in front of us, it doesn't matter what happens in our circumstances, we keep getting together for the same reason, to see the power of God at work. And we're going to start out with the chorus, and then we'll go into the first verse. Okay.
Thank you.
we were offering this morning is for CrossNet Ministries. I don't know if there's someone signed to have prayer for the offering. If not, I will do that. Father God, let's just come before you and thank you for providing jobs for us to do our work. And thank you for the work of CrossNet Ministries. And thank you that our offerings can go to support that. And we just give to you our tithes and above that and beyond to share in your kingdom work in this way. I ask that that would be used for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chapter 16, and what that talks about gives God gives the Israelites pretty specific instructions about how the Levites or the priests are supposed to conduct ceremonies and practices in the temple, and then there's a few things outside the temple, like they take a scapegoat out in the wilderness with the sins of the community and things like that. And as we were going over that, the thing that stuck out to me was as they're entering Canaan, and or I guess as they were being viewed by the other nations that they had left Egypt, that other nations also had practices that they did to try to appease other gods. The difference is that those nations that worship pagan gods, they didn't really have much assurance in their practices. They wanted to appease gods, and they didn't want evil to come upon them, and they thought that if they engage in these different rituals, that it's going to make a difference. Well, the thing about the Israelites is their God loved them, and he wanted a relationship with them. It had just been parted, and so he gave them these instructions so that they could be cleansed from their sin and come back into a right relationship with him. And that's one thing that hasn't changed for us today. God still wants that. And what did change is that when Jesus died on the cross, in the temple, the curtain to the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. And now we don't need an earthly high priest to go and intercede for us, but Jesus has become our high priest, and we can go to him and go right to God and have a relationship restored to him. So this next song is called Jesus Thank You, and it's just about the mystery of the love that God has for us and the way he sent Jesus to restore our relationship with him.
works to change our heart, your ability to take a group of people and help them to continually see people's hearts change. And I just pray as a community that we would follow leaders that can lead us to where you are working, and that we can bring new people to see that happening. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's Doug Becker, some you might know, and president of the youth group here. So, saw some pictures of events, things that we did in the last couple months. Give you a little snapshot of what it's like to be in youth group. So, we have a mission statement with the youth group, and it's nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowship with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. So, shared a little bit about the way that we study God's word. Another thing that we studied in a Bible study was about worship, and we talked about how worship is like your thoughts, like kind of what you go back to. Whenever the presence of God comes around people, they worship. It's just, there's no other option when you see the wonder of God. And so the challenge was, whenever you go on your default setting, so to speak, what is it? Do you think negative thoughts, or do you choose, what do you think about, or do you choose to worship God and think about things he's done for you? Kind of worship is the bottom. Whenever something greater than you comes along, and you default to think about that, worship is your last thing that you do. There's no other option when you see God. And so what do your thoughts lead you to? Do they lead you to worship, or do they lead you to something else? So some of the ways that we've fellowshipped with each other. In September, we went chip and putt, some of us, and I'm not sure, maybe some people were going for the score, but some of us were just going to fellowship, I guess. But in October, we had a barn party back at our house, and in November, we went bowling. Some ways that we served others, we had fun making supper for the church picnic. It probably seems like a long time ago. It does to me anyway. We appreciated your support through the donations for that. In October, we picked pumpkins for Fred and Connie Rank, as Fred is dealing with cancer, and so we went to help them out. And in November, we went to Camp Deer Park. Saw some pictures of that. And I just wanted to share with you, as they shared with us, they're very appreciative of the work that we come up. We go up there to cut firewood for them, and that's how they heat over the winter. They have a ministry for kids out of New York City that don't have a really good home, and they're not experienced in rural living, and so they have cabins there, and they do summer camp ministry sort of thing, and it's supported by Mennonite churches like us and ones in this area. So there's not very many groups that come to cut firewood, and they wanted to thank us very much for what we do. And so I just wanted to share that with you as a congregation, as you support the youth group and things. So yeah, we appreciate the support you give us. Thank you.
Mark 13:32-37. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Wow. If this was a youth group Bible study, I'd say everyone kind of make their chairs in a circle, because it feels like it's a small group, and this is the first Sunday. This is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving in a long time that I can be counted among the real men that come to church. Rick. So I'd just like to take a minute and pray for Naomi Good. She's dealing with COVID, so let's take a minute and pray for her. God, I just want to lift Naomi Good up to you right now. She's a dear sister struggling with COVID. Sounds like she has had a fever for a while. And I just pray for healing in her situation. And as Rick talked about in Sunday school this morning, I pray that she can see COVID as just another thing that wearing your armor that is just going to bounce off of her. And just thank you for a family like this, that we can bring our needs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Doug, worship team, Emma, putting the slideshow together. Thank you guys. I appreciate all you do. I get a lot of support here at Bowmansville. I'd like to take this time to thank you all for the nice gifts that you gave Renee and I and the other pastors for Pastor Appreciation Day month, I guess. And also, I'd like to thank the PCRC. Guess I'll put my mask up here. I'd like to thank the PCRC for all the work they did on our retreat. That was the first time in a while I went away somewhere, and I could walk into the cabin with a bag in each hand and put it on the bed, and that's it. We were unpacked instead of making several trips back and forth to the car. They take care of the food, and it's just a good time fellowshipping with everybody there, so I'd like to thank them for that. So, are you ready for Jesus? That's a question that we probably ought to put a little thought into before we answer, so maybe you can we can start off with a little bit easier question. Are you ready for Christmas? There's a lot to get ready for, a lot to remember. You know, as you get older, your body degrades. Your hearing starts to go, your eyesight starts to go. Some of us lose the hair on our head, others start growing hair, like all over the place. Your joints hurt, but the one thing that gets better is your forgetter. Your forgetter just gets better and better. Mine's about as good as it ever was. So the one thing that will help me get ready for Christmas, or that could help me get ready for Christmas, is a list. A list of everything that reminds us of Christmas. So, what I'd like is if the children could come front. I have some tape on the bench here that is spaced apart. They can sit with their brothers and sisters at one piece of tape or alone at one piece of tape. And if all the tapes get used up in the front here, there's some on the steps. Wherever there's a piece of tape, you can sit. So why don't you come on front and help me make my list of things that remind me of Christmas. I'm going to take this over here so everyone can see it. We got two brave young ones. Any more? Well, I hate to have to do this. Oh, we got a couple more coming. All right. I do have a snack if you come front. Would you mind setting it up in front of the doors there? Thank you. Yeah, you did light that candle. Okay, so you guys can have a seat. You guys can have a seat. Here, if you want, look, there's a piece of tape right there. You can sit there. You can sit there with your brother. So we're going to make a list, and I've never been accused of being a really good speller, and I'm not. I read when I need to, but like pleasure reading isn't really my thing. So instead of writing a list, what I'd like to do is if you guys could tell me what reminds you of Christmas, or anybody for that matter, if you're brave enough, I'd like for you to come and draw a picture of it. Do you think you could do that? Okay, what's your thing that reminds you of Christmas? Moms and dads get us toys. Think you can draw a picture of that? Here, let me give you a squirt of hand sanitizer. Here, you want some hand sanitizer? That way you can all go up and use the markers. Everyone knows how to use this. They probably won't be drawing pictures, will they? Do you want some hand sanitizer for them? I'll give it to you and you can help them. You want some? Okay, so mom and dad get us toys. Let's see what comes up here on the list. Is that a toy page? A dolly. All right, very good. So Paige has a dolly. That reminds us of Christmas. Dylan, right? Okay, what reminds you of Christmas? Christmas tree. Can you draw a Christmas tree? All right, let's see it. So what I'm going to do for you all who your forgetter might be in the same condition as mine, I'm going to leave this here, and you can take a picture of it with your phone, or you can, if you don't have a phone that takes pictures, you can just try your best to remember it. Maybe you can look at it later. All right, we're getting some gifts, a Christmas tree. Anybody else? You have something that reminds you of Christmas. What is it? Christmas lights. Can you draw Christmas lights? You can. Why don't you go over there and draw some Christmas lights? Wow, that's looking good. We got a tree. We got a dolly. When you're done drawing, you can go back and have a seat. I'm anxious to see the lights. Are you going to put the lights on the tree? Or just alone Christmas lights? Okay. Who else? And if you suggest something, I'll draw it for you. You don't have to come front and draw it, unless you want to. Anybody else? What reminds you of Christmas? Family. You want to draw it or should I? Okay. Family. Okay. How do you draw family? We got Dad wears a hat. We got mom, who wears a dress. And there, and we got little ones here. We got a little boy and a little girl. Family, what else? See, I'm going to look at this so I don't forget about Christmas, so I don't forget what I got to do to be ready for Christmas. Wow, look at this. We got a Christmas tree with lights and a dolly, and we got a nice little corner of lights there. Anybody else? What reminds you of Christmas? Food. You want to draw that? Food. Let's do one of these. Hint, hint, hint. What else? A couple more things. There's got to be more things. Christmas songs. Draw a note. Okay. Is that a note? Okay. Who said that? Thank you. Baby Jesus. There. Who else? Candy cane. That's a good idea. Hey, would you draw a candy cane?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you use the red? Okay, anybody else? Any more ideas? This is our Christmas list. Helps us be ready for Christmas. Great. That's a great candy cane. Looks good. Logan, I bet you never thought you'd see your name in lights. Looks good. All right, guys, you can have a seat. So if you need, yeah, thank you, guys. You did a good job. So if you need to be ready for Christmas and your forgetter is in the same condition as mine, you can take a look at this. I'll just put it to the side here for now. There, I think you can wiggle by there. If you can't, you can push it forward a little bit after church. So you're waiting for your snacks, aren't you? There you go. Fruit snacks now. They're sour fruit snacks. Is that all right? Do you want two? One for your brother. Thank you. You want one? You want some fruit snacks? I'll give them to... give them to Andy, and she can give them to you if she wants to. Okay. Is that everybody? Thanks for your help. Now I'm ready for Christmas. I know we got family, candy canes, Christmas trees, lights, Jesus in a manger. That's great. So I started out by saying, are you ready for Jesus? Thank you. So to help me answer that question, I've got another list, okay? Number one, what does it mean to be ready for Jesus when he leaves the 99 and comes looking for the one, for me, for you, for the lost one? What does it mean to be ready for Jesus when he comes knocking at your heart? Number two, what does it mean to be ready for Jesus when he calls us home to come live with him? And number three, are we ready to live for Jesus and not just die for Jesus? Are we ready to give up all this world has to offer and actually live for Jesus? Okay, so number one, how to be ready when Jesus comes knocking on the door of our hearts. This past summer, I was working in Terry Hill. It might be East Earl. It's close to Terry Hill. Wildflower Drive. You go up Vine Street, and then just going out of town there towards the where it starts getting stinky, you make a right onto Wildflower Drive. And that's there's new houses in there, and I was working there. I was working there with my 13-year-old nephew, Micah, and we just got done pouring a section of concrete sidewalk. When we get done pouring the concrete, we take the wheelbarrow, and we clean it out, and we put all our tools in it. And there's all kinds of tools in there. Some are pretty new. Some of them are starting to get wide in the middle. Some of them are pretty old. And they're starting to get concrete built up on them. And they're looking pretty rough. And they all do different things. Some of them are designed for smoothing out. Some of them are designed for making the edges on the concrete round, striking joints in the concrete. So Micah was looking at this wheelbarrow full of water and tools, and he was watching us work, and when we're done using a tool, take it over to the wheelbarrow full of water and clean all the concrete off of it, and then put it back in the wheelbarrow. And he was looking at the tools and how some of the old ones had concrete built up all over them, and he said, why is there concrete built up on some of these tools? I'm watching you guys, and every time you use a tool, you clean all the concrete off. So why is it that some of them have concrete on them? And we went on to explain that today's kind of a slower paced day, and we have time to wash our tools. So we're going to do that. We don't always have time to wash our tools. Sometimes our lives get pretty fast paced and off track. And even though we have good intentions and we come to church, we have a prayer life, sin still builds up a wall. It builds up a wall between us and Jesus. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 28 to 32. This is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. This is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet we are judged by the Lord. We are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. We often read that in preparation for communion. But in this case, I'd like you to focus on the part about taking a step back from your life and self-examining. You see, if you self-examine yourself when Jesus comes knocking for you, you realize that you need Jesus in your life, and you realize who you are without Jesus and what you can be with Jesus, and he can help you do what you're designed to do, just like the different tools are designed to do different things. When they get the concrete built up on them, they don't really work that good anymore. So, what does it mean to be ready when Jesus comes knocking on the door of your heart? So take a step back and self-examine and realize who you are without him and realize that you need him in your life. So back to the list. Number two. What does it mean to be ready when Jesus calls us home to live with him? Well, there's two ways that you might go home to live with Jesus. One way, your body gets old and tired and wears out and dies. Or, Jesus returns. And I say returns because he was already here once as a baby on the first Christmas. He was crucified to death. And he ascended, then he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. So, you either die or Jesus returns. So let's talk a little bit about Jesus' return. Matthew 24, 3 to 13. I'm going to read that. Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to be ready for his return. Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us when this will happen. What sign will signal your return and be the end of the world?" Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures till the end will be saved." So, if I use my internet machine here and did a search on foreign relations, I could probably find all kinds of stories about wars right now and rumors of wars and threats of wars. It wasn't very long ago that names like Jim Jones and David Koresh were in the news. And as a teenager, I remember hearing about these names and associating these names with Jesus' prophetic claims of deceiving many I just read about in the Bible. We've been hearing about earthquakes and other natural disasters all over the world in recent times. Wildfires, storms, all over the world. And persecution is also happening all over the world, including here in the United States, where the perceived popular culture and some legislation is seeking more and more to control what we think and what we say. But listen to this. If you could travel back in time and measure the world's political climate, there would always be wars and rumors of wars. Natural disasters didn't start in the last 25 years. The Christian church has been persecuted since day one. There's been false teachers all throughout history. The truth is, I think Jesus could have returned at any time in the past 2,000 years, and this prophecy would have been fulfilled. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that this prophecy in Matthew 24:3-13 is somehow bogus, or that we shouldn't be paying attention to this stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I believe that Jesus' words here were chosen very carefully. And he said this not so we could sit back and try to predict when he's coming or when he's going to call us to leave our physical bodies, but because these things have been happening all throughout history, when these things happen, it's to remind us to be ready for Jesus. Because these things could happen at any moment. These things are happening to remind us to be in a constant state of readiness for Jesus. Will you be ready when Jesus calls you home to leave your physical body? So the last thing on our list that reminds us to be ready for Jesus is, are you ready to live for Jesus, not just die for Jesus? So I think if there was some hypothetical situation right now that required some of you to be martyred for Jesus, to die for Jesus, I think you would. I think we're ready for that. A lot of you are ready for that. But the question is, are you ready to live for Jesus? Are you including Jesus in things like family planning for the future, maybe a move, job change, financial planning? Are you living for Jesus in that way? This time of year makes me think of family and friends getting together. Why is it that when we get together with the ones that we love most, we have the most trouble sharing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I'm reminded of that. That's one of those vexing things to me. I'm the meanest guy to my family sometimes. So as I said earlier, since I was 12, I spent just about every first Monday after Thanksgiving hunting with my family. I really do appreciate all those times that I spent in the woods playing cards, spotting deer, eating. We had some good meals. And telling hunting stories and listening to hunting stories from grandpa, uncles, cousins, and now my brother, and my nieces and nephews. There's a lot of teachable moments when a bunch of men get together and hunt in a hunting camp, and there is a lot of learnable moments as well for a young man in that environment. And I've appreciated that over the years. 30-some years ago, Ken Whitmer took me and Tony to our hunter safety course, and the instructor warned us. I remember this clearly. The instructor warned us not to let our emotions cloud our judgment. Don't get mad when your buddy gets a deer and you don't. These emotions can create dangerous situations when you're hunting, especially turkey hunting. A lot of accidents happen turkey hunting. When we're around the people that we love most, emotions tend to run high. We tend to make mountains out of molehills, like getting in an argument about what caliber of gun Grandpa used to shoot his first buck. Any of you that go to hunting camp probably have been involved in stupid arguments like that, or maybe seen other people involved in stupid arguments like that. What about what kind of dessert we should have at the Thanksgiving dinner? We need to have grace for each other in our relationships. Are you ready to live for Jesus? Living for Jesus is being ready to love others even when you feel like they don't deserve it. So, there's a camera up there, and there's a lot of people missing this morning, and hopefully some of you that are missing have service at your hunting camp. So, if you're watching, I'd like to leave you with this. If you shoot your buck and you come back to camp and there's a bunch of guys standing there that didn't shoot their buck yet, you got to tell your story about how you shot it, because that's part of what hunting camp's all about. But keep your story short, because remember, the guys that are hearing it don't want to hear it as much as you want to tell it. And if you find yourself listening to that story and you don't have your buck yet, have grace for the guy telling it, and lend an ear and show love. Okay, let's pray. God, I just thank you for Jesus and what he did for us. And I just pray that we can be ready for you. We can be ready to live our lives for you. We can show love to those around us. God, I just thank you that you go after the one that gets away from the 100. Pray that you're willing to bring that one back to the 99. And when you come for us, I pray that you give us the humility to evaluate our lives and see who we are with you and who we are without you, and to understand that we need you. And God, I just thank you that you are who you are, and that someday we're going to leave our physical bodies. And I just pray that we can ask you into our hearts so that we're ready for that when that comes, when that time comes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise forever to the King of Kings. Thank you.
So I have an announcement to make. For several years, I don't know how long, at the beginning of December, the youth group has done a babysitting night so that the parents have an opportunity to leave their children somewhere that's not with them so they can go Christmas shopping and get those gifts. This year, due to many circumstances, we've decided to cancel that. So we're not going to have that. So there's a handful of you that already signed up, so just be advised, we're not going to have that this year. So you can stand to receive this blessing. Bless you as you navigate through the holiday season and live in a state of readiness for Jesus. You're dismissed.